You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Very happy to go to the Ohio Business Machines hotline to bring in one of my favorite draft gurus out there, Matt Miller from the Bleacher Report. You can follow him on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout. Matt, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. Good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you as well today, and I would recommend everybody who's getting excited about the draft to get over to BleacherReport.com. Check out Matt's latest scouting notebook before the conference championships. A lot of details on a lot of players and an updated two-round mock draft. And let's start, before we get to your mock draft, Mel Kiper Jr. had his yesterday in the 12th spot. He had the Browns taking Danny Shelton, who was the guy that you profiled in this week's scouting notebook, and I know you are a big fan of his.
Yeah, you know what's funny is a lot of people released mock drafts yesterday, and no one, like, it wasn't planned. But I know, like, Mel Kiper did one, Sports Illustrated did one, Daniel Jeremiah did one, so it's really kind of funny to watch all these mock drafts come out yesterday.
Yeah,
but
it's fun.
I'm a big fan of Danny Shelton. I mean, just amazing movement skills for a guy his size, very powerful. And what I tweeted last night was I'm trying to write up his strengths and weaknesses, and I was really struggling to find weaknesses. I mean, it took a couple games to be like, okay, this is a consistent weakness. It's not just like one bad play. So I'm very excited about his potential.
I like his first weakness was he can play too high with his pads at times, but he's only 6'2", so he has naturally good leverage. So even his weakness was in some way strengthened. It was funny, I was looking, going through your two-round mock draft to see where he was, and I kept looking and I kept looking, and I didn't see him because I was starting around, you know, the 10 level, and you have him going fourth overall to Oakland, which would be bad because a lot of people think he's such a nice fit for the Browns.
I think he's going to go a lot earlier than people realize. And Raider fans who were played on Twitter don't want him, so maybe you guys can work something out and you can convince them to maybe hopefully he falls. But I think he's a special player. And, you know, the thing for me, there are a couple positions where when you have a guy who's productive but also athletic and, you know, checks every box for you, he's going to go high. Quarterback, left tackle, and defensive tackle are those areas for me because you're able to, I think, translate what he does now to the NFL really seamlessly. So I'm a big fan of his. Maybe I'm you know, riding the hype train a little too hard right now, but man, I really do think he could be special.
Yeah, a name that's very hot here in Ohio right now and just decided to go back to school, but what were your thoughts on Cardale Jones as a player, and where could you potentially project him or would have projected him into this year's draft?
You know, it was so tough, and everyone wanted like a hard number, you know, where is he going to get drafted? I thought his tools made him a competitor for that number three quarterback spot in this year because I'm not a big Brett Hundley fan, so I thought Cardale could have maybe challenged for that spot. What draft pick that means, I mean, it's all over the place. So many teams need a quarterback. I wouldn't have been surprised if that was a top 50 pick. So the problem is, you know, we're saying after three games, this is what he can do. And on the other side of that, teams could say, man, we only saw three games. We're not investing, you know, that much money into a project that we may never get anything out of. So his stock could have bottomed out as quickly as it got hot. So I think he made the right decision. Go back to Ohio State, compete, get your degree, because you know, that's something that won't go away is his education. So I think it's a smart decision.
You have the Browns in the first round taking wide receiver Kevin White from West Virginia at number 12 and then coming back with a defensive tackle Malcolm Brown at number 19. And that's what I want to see. I think receiver, defensive line are the top two positions to attack there. How did he select White and Malcolm Brown for the Browns?
Well, you know, when doing these, I try to look at team needs as of now, scheme fit as much as we can know them with coaching changes, and then player value. Kevin White being on the board, I think it's a great fit for them with Josh Gordon's future so much in doubt. Now you got a guy who's big, can stretch the field, is a complete route runner. He's really developed well the last 2 years at West Virginia. And then with Malcolm Brown, you know, you were talking about wanting Danny Shelton. This is probably the next best thing because he's 6'4", 320 pounds, very, very good against the run. You know, at times can disappear a bit as a pass rusher, but I think in the scheme that Cleveland's running on defense, I think he would be an ideal fit right there in the middle.
And that's what they need. I think that's really where they need somebody who can plug the middle and stop. Now, in the second round, you have them coming back and getting Max Williams. Max with two X's. This guy just seems like he is destined to be awesome in the NFL. You know, that one play in the bowl game makes him look a little Gronkowski-like. What does Max Williams do, and what would he bring to the Browns?
Yeah, he's kind of baby Gronk-like, or Travis Kelce, in the big athletic. You know, he's young. He's just a redshirt sophomore leaving Minnesota, but his dad played in the NFL. He's ready for it. He's prepared. I think athletically he has room to grow. As a tight end, he has a ton of room to get better. But what you're going to get right away is someone who could be an athlete up the seam, big enough to make plays in the end zone. And with Jordan Cameron being a free agent and having some injury history, it's definitely a need, I think, that's being overlooked right now. So if they can, you know, every mock draft is like an ideal scenario for a team. But if they could pull in those three guys, I think that looks like a much different team next year.
I do too. And just to focus again on the top of the draft, you have Winston going 1 overall and Mariota going 6th overall. Do you think there's any team out there right now that could make some type of move and put a package together worth it enough for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to deviate off that number one pick?
I don't. You know, that's a team. They were a trendy pick to make the playoffs last year with Lovie Smith as head coach. All they need is a quarterback, and that offense is going to take off because they have the weapons, obviously. So I don't think that we will see them move out of that spot. I would be really surprised. I think it would take a pretty big haul from someone. I know Philadelphia fans want that to happen, but you're talking about like an RG3 type trade to get into that top spot.
What do you look for when you're watching a game, or maybe you're doing it only on tape? Tell the common man out there, how do you project if a guy's going to excel at the next level?
Well, you know, it varies by position, and I actually have a checklist. A few years ago, I went through, I think it was back in 2013, and I wrote an article that was how to scout every position, and it's basically just a wordy version of my checklist. So, you know, quarterbacks, I have a chart that I use that, it looks like a breakdown of a football field, and I sit here with my pen and watch every throw, and I mark whether it's an incomplete pass, a dropped pass, an interception, a completed pass, and actually look at where the ball is caught, not what happens after the catch, to get a good idea of where a quarterback is able to make plays on the field, what the offense asks him to do. And that's just one part of evaluating that position. You know, once you know where a guy's throwing the ball, you want to go back and look at how he does it. You know, looking at footwork, balance, obviously arm mechanics, vision. So it's a very long, kind of thorough process for each position that takes a lot of time. And it's why, I always try to tell people opinions can change really fast this time of year as we have time to go in and really study more tape, because a lot of times in October, November, you're just trying to stay caught up with what's happening on Saturday and Sunday, and you don't have a complete picture. But now starting to get to that time of year where there is more of a complete picture and you can get a definitive look at a guy.
So what made you drop Mariota to 6 then?
Well, that's a great question. You know, that process I was just talking about of, you know, charting a guy, looking at his mechanics. When I charted Mariota's games and I looked at his I have charted every game that he's played at Oregon, but I really focused in on the last 6 and was just blown away by the lack of downfield accuracy and how many of his throws are happening in a comfort zone of about 5 yards around the line of scrimmage, you know, behind the line and right over the line is where he makes most of his throws, the large majority of them. At one point against Florida State, 17 of 27 were thrown within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. So what he does doesn't translate to the NFL because you're not going to be in an offense that does that. We might see some teams use that, but they're not going to do it predominantly. So being able to throw down the field, read coverage and make a quick read and get it into tight coverage. It's not that he can't do it. I've just never seen him do it. So it's much more of a projection than you get with Jameis Winston, who's playing in that NFL-style passing game.
When you look at this draft and you look at the quarterback position specifically, the Browns, and give it, you can give your thoughts on Johnny Manziel's development as well, kind of tied into this. Obviously, quarterback king in the NFL. The top two guys seem to be Winston and Mariota. They'll be gone, long gone, before the Browns pick at 12. Is there anybody that you see in the – I know you're not a big Hundley fan. You have them going 9th overall in the second round to St. Louis. But is there anybody you see kind of in the 3rd, 4th round area that could be an appealing – kind of project to bring in here? Because, you know, you see a guy like Bryce Petty, sure, he's prolific. You wonder if it's system. His footwork is suspect, but he has the size. He's got the arm, et cetera.
But Bryce Petty would be that guy, and I get asked that. I think every city I'm on, they're like, "Is there a quarterback in this class who's not going top five?" And it's, well, Bryce Petty might be your guy because, like you said, the system there is a little suspect. His footwork needs some correction, but that's coachable. He's a great athlete, so I don't think his footwork is a function of bad athleticism. It's just he needs taught how to take his drops and time things. But you can do that, Hundley. I'm not sure he's an NFL quarterback. He has potential, but his accuracy and decision-making are just really bad at times. And accuracy is one of those things. You either have it or you don't, I think. And he doesn't have it right now. So there's just not a good option outside of the top two guys. And even with Winston and Mariota, it's so far from a slam dunk, especially after last year when there were four guys I had round one grades on, and that includes Johnny Football. So this year is just kind of a polar opposite of that.
For the people who say Johnny Football is done and will never be a good NFL quarterback, what do you say?
Oh, my gosh. We're so impatient now, right?
It's amazing.
God, it's crazy. God, what would we have said about Aaron Rodgers when he didn't play his rookie year if Twitter had existed then? We just have to be patient. Steve Young sucked for like 8 years before he was ever anything in San Francisco. And I'm not saying Manziel will be Steve Young, but we have to give him that chance. Let him breathe a little bit. This rookie season was not a success. On the field, I think he has to grow up off the field a little bit, but let's give him the chance to do that before we kick him out of town. I would love to see NFL teams go back to the idea that a quarterback is a 3 to 4 year investment, and you're not even going to think about making a change or upgrading over a guy until you really see how he can perform, how he can develop, and how he grows up on the job, because we're writing kids off at 22 and 23 years old now, and it's really unfortunate for everyone involved, I think.
I would agree with that. Now, one guy that you loved last year and stuck with it the whole time was a guy that I love, Theodore Bridgewater. Great rookie season with the Vikings. How would you compare him to, say, Jameis Winston? Would Teddy have been at the top of your board again this year?
He would be, and that was a tough decision for me. And it finally came down to the thing that sparked my restudying these quarterbacks as of late was my producers were like, "Hey, you're going to have to make a decision on this because we want to do a video about it. So do what you need to do and let us know." And Bridgewater, I still has a higher grade for me out of all these guys. And this year's class, last year's class, sure. And even the class before that. So I was and am a very big Teddy Bridgewater fan, and after the first year, it looks like that's a success. But he still has work to do, so hopefully he takes the next step.
Wide receiver, you never know with Ray Farmer, given the way that he kind of talks about the position, if the Browns would make that investment at number 12. If they were to go dip in, how does this receiver class compare to last year's, where there were a lot of guys who produced very effectively from the second and third rounds?
Last year's class was historic, and this year's group is good, but not that good. Amari Cooper would probably be like my fourth receiver last year, behind Watkins, Evans, and Beckham. And then you get into Kevin White and Devontae Parker. They would probably be right there too, in that second group ahead of guys like Brandon Cooks and Kelvin Benjamin and Jordan Matthews. So the thing about last year's class, if I remember right, I think I had 18 receivers with like a top 50 grade. It was ridiculous. So this year it's closer to a normal year of like, five guys who are top 35, and then probably 10 guys overall who will be like a top 90 player. So the depth definitely drops off this year, and there are more guys like Sammy Coates who has a couple areas in his game that are lacking.
Gotcha. Great stuff as always. Matt Miller with us from the Bleacher Report. Check out his scouting notebook. Came out. Tons of stuff to digest, sink your teeth in about scouting, about this draft, the players coming up. It's always a lot of fun to read. And he also has a 2-round mock draft where, again, he has the Browns going at number 12 with Kevin White, wide receiver, at number 19, defensive tackle Malcolm Brown. And then in the second round, Max Williams, the tight end from the University of Minnesota. And you can follow him on Twitter. And I'd recommend it at NFL Draft Scout. Matt, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
You bet, guys. Thank you.
All right. Take care. If you could come out of here with Kevin White, who I like a lot out of West Virginia, I think he could be a number one. And if Josh can ever figure things out, would be an unbelievable number two for this team. And then you come away with a space eater in the middle at 19 and Malcolm Brown, and then Max Williams, who could be that athletic tight end for you. I think that could be what a phenomenal start that would be for the
Browns. Absolutely,
and
a lot of it has been what the conversations we've had. And as we've gone into position groups – with the uncertainty at some and the production out of others, we're meeting three immediate needs, you know, with our first three picks. And I think everybody'd be happy. And from Cleveland at you know, the Cleveland fans at this point, it's like they have to trust in this process and trust who's making these decisions and not be oversold on any one player and the promise that they're going to be, you know, each guy or each pick is going to be the next hero here in Cleveland. We're building a team full of young talent, and we're competing. And that's what Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine are doing here. And I think also, too, as you saw that at times, you know, we're in every game, you know, that we show up to, and we have a plan. And I think that these young players are guys that I also, too, identified that can come in and play right away, you know, and not have to wait and develop as we had to with last year's first rounders.
And it's a sum of the parts. It's not, you can always look at things individually and criticize, like last year's draft, obviously the top of it was a little bit weaker, but when you look at the sum of the parts, and I think this is what people are missing in Cleveland a little bit right now, is we increased our win total by almost 100%, and we have building blocks for the future. Kirksey, Betonio, you know, the Crow, a lot of different players, and this is the second year of the process. Give this group of people a chance. And again, with eight picks this year, I'm really looking forward to the draft and the whole process this year.
I am too, and I think the Browns have an opportunity to really take some steps forward. Not only do they have, you know, the draft picks, 10 of them, two in the first round again, they also have all the money, third most under the salary cap, around $44 million. But remember, folks, with that salary cap money, you want to have that space. That's an asset you can carry forward, and I think if you look at successful teams, they don't buy those high-priced free agents. They add solid pieces through free agency at good prices. So I want to make sure you keep that in mind with the Browns.
And even more so than that is again, as we continue to draft these guys, if they're successful in a Browns uniform,
you want to
retain them.
Absolutely.
You want to have the money and cap space available to reward these players and keep them in Cleveland and make them your building blocks, as you said, Nathan.
You are absolutely correct. That is the key. All right, thanks for being with us here on this Friday. And certainly we had fun with a little bit of, you know, a little bit of free KJ talk. Thanks for the Mike Judge for coming on with us and representing the quote-unquote average sales guys here today. And again, Mike Judge is a guy that if you do want to get Brown sick, it's a great guy to call, or just get to him on Twitter at MikeJudge1027. Also, we've got to thank senior staff writer Andrew Gribble for being with us. Of course, the kid for being with us. Matt Miller from the Bleacher Report, again on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout, for our great producer, Mr. Jason Gibbs as well. I'm Nathan Zagura saying thank you so much, along for Matt Wilhelm and the kid for joining us on
Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
Stay tuned for the Golden Boys.
See you Monday. Money never sleeps.
A little something I've been wanting to borrow. Tonight's the night, come on, surrender. I won't lead your love astray. Astray, yeah. Your love's a weapon, give your body some direction. That's my aim.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.